Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-wah! I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. I trust each of you celebrated this past Friday as we celebrated both our Army's birthday and Flag Day. On 20 April, Ms. Tartak, a Yale student journalist, was stabbed in the eye with a flagpole carried by a masked pro-Palestinian protester at Yale. Tartak was there to report on the anti-Semitism as a group called Students for Justice in Palestine, SJP, had set up an encampment to protest genocide in the Hamas-Israel war in Gaza. At other universities, Jewish students and faculty have been grabbed, spit on, hit, and threatened. This while the SJP groups marched and chanted about ramping up the violent revolution or removing Jews. This is not the America I was defending during my time in the military. How can this happen? Well, Qatar, China, and Saudi Arabia have each contributed between $1 and $3.5 billion to our universities, while the United Arab Emirates, Kuwait, and Russia have given between $100 and $700 million to them. Other big donors of lesser amounts include the Palestinian Authority, Syria, Venezuela, Pakistan, Iraq, and Turkey. Maybe we need to set up some standards for our universities. Okay, joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is Marine vet Skip Coriel. What have you been up to, Skip? Have you been behaving yourself?
Well, I haven't got caught yet. And yes, I am behaving. I've been working hard on my garden. You know, I just have a routine. I do my swimming almost every day and work on the garden. You know, I've declared war against all giant rodents who are attacking my hens. Let me see. So far, I've gotten rid of 3 possums and 2 raccoons. And I have yet begun to fight, Colonel. I'm going after him big time.
Are you cooking them and eating them?
Yes, I'm using the Granny Clampett recipe book for possum innards.
Oh, okay, well,
can we get you in Maryland over for dinner next week?
As soon as you finish up the innards, yes.
Okay.
Here's what we have for you today. On news and comments by the Colonel, I'm going to discuss Russia, Ukraine, and the possibility of a war with Russia. Then Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will contribute his warrant wisdom. Next, General Jeff Terrell will discuss the Army's birthday, Flag Day, and the National Guard. Retired Air Force Colonel Kim Carpenter will discuss her time in combat flying an A-10 Warthog. And co-hosts Gil and Skip will discuss our southern border and a book.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We really do welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. Now it's time for news and comments by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom. Now the news. Take us there, bro.
Well, Colonel, South Korea said it will soon take unbearable steps in response to North Korea sending over 600 trash balloons into its airspace over the weekend. North Korea says the campaign is in response to decades of political leaflets from South Korea. Since the 1950s, activists in South Korea have sent balloons into North Korea carrying food, medicine, anti-Pyongyang pamphlets, and USBs with K-pop music and shows. In response, North Korea has sent more than 800 balloons carrying trash and excrement in 2 batches over the past week. South Korea has directed the military to collect and inspect the balloons, which they say were recovered in 8 out of 9 of its provinces. The move is the latest escalatory measure between the two countries amid military exercises, missile tests, and failed spy satellites.
These actions are nonsense. I hope the conflict there gets no more deadly than this, but one never knows what dictatorships will do. I'm glad we're standing with South Korea.
And Israel's top general in northern Israel said that the army is ready to expand its operations against Hezbollah if need be to end the terror group's daily attacks on Israeli communities. The statement came one day after an IDF reservist was killed and 10 other Israelis were injured in explosive drone attacks by Hezbollah. Quote, "We are prepared and ready, and when we will be ordered, the enemy will meet a strong and ready army," Major General Ori Gordon said. Gordon added that Hezbollah has suffered severe blows from the IDF, and that 420 terrorists have been eliminated since Hezbollah started firing on October 8.
Hezbollah is responsible for the devastating destruction it would bring to Lebanon by expanding this war against Israel.
And recently, Hamas cell armed with assault rifles and RPGs attempted to infiltrate Israel's border from the southern Gaza Strip. Around 4 a.m., soldiers monitoring surveillance cameras spotted suspicious movement amid foggy weather. Troops were dispatched to the scene and were shot at by the terrorists around 400 yards from the Israeli border. The IDF soldiers returned fire, and an IDF drone launched a strike, killing two of the terrorists. A third Hamas terrorist was killed by Israeli tank shelling, while a fourth fled back into Gaza. The IDF said that the cell initially emerged from a tunnel shaft just 200 yards from the border. IDF warrant officer Zeid Mazarib, age 34, was killed by the terrorist as he worked to defend the border.
Israel is simply defending its border from people, terrorists, who seek to kill them. Good job, Israel.
And Hamas's depravity has no bounds. The IDF has uncovered a terror tunnel shaft in Rafah, located inside a young girl's bedroom. Hamas despicably uses the most vulnerable people of Gaza as human shields to hide its terrorism.
For a better future for Israelis and Palestinians alike, Hamas must be destroyed.
And our intelligence agencies are warning that China is working hard to recruit American military pilots as well as aviators from NATO and allied countries as tensions continue to rise in the Pacific. The warning came in a bulletin by the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, along with Australia, Canada, New Zealand, and the UK, countries that share intelligence with one another frequently. Quote, overcome their shortcomings, China's People's Liberation Army has been aggressively recruiting Western military talent to train their aviators using private firms around the globe that conceal their PLA ties and offer recruits exorbitant salaries. Recent actions by Western governments have impacted these operations, but PLA recruitment efforts continue to evolve in response, unquote. Private companies located in South Africa and China are working to hire former fighter pilots from a variety of Western nations in hopes of gaining insight into their methods and skills, and then pass it along to the PLA Air Force and Navy pilots, the bulletin said.
China is our number one enemy. They state clearly that taking us down is their goal, and they are clearly working towards it.
We and our allies are raising the stakes in our struggle to curb ship attacks by Houthi militants in the Red Sea by increasingly blocking their revenue sources, a move that could jeopardize a peace deal intended to end an almost decade-long war in Yemen. We have told parties, including Saudi Arabia, that key elements of a UN-led plan committed to last December can't go ahead unless the Iran-backed group ends its near 7-month hostile maritime campaign. That would have included the dispersal of at least $1.5 billion in civil servant salaries by Riyadh to Houthi-controlled territories. Our administration supports peace in Yemen to address long-standing economic and humanitarian crises in the country, but the agreements tied to the so-called UN roadmap can only proceed if the Houthis stop the Red Sea attacks, which began in November, ostensibly, to put pressure on Israel to end its war in Gaza. The move demonstrates how U.S. and U.K. airstrikes against the Houthis since early January have done little to deter them, whose missile attacks and hijackings have upended shipping through one of the main arteries for global trade. Yet the shelving of the peace deal could undo a fragile 2-year truce and reignite land fighting among Yemen's warring factions, potentially drawing in Saudi Arabia and other Gulf states like the United Arab Emirates. The resurgence of another Middle East conflict alongside the Israel-Hamas war would further highlight the Biden administration's struggles to bring calm to the region.
The Middle East is a mess. Our nation is not well respected there, so we are not providing the leadership needed. This is a very serious matter, and there's no way to predict how things will come out. And that's the news. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure that our nation is well run and on the right path. Politics and politicians are confusing, but we can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can assist you, even if you're not a vet, in getting involved in getting our nation back on track. Working with them is one of the things I do. Check CVAfrontlines.com. That's CVAfrontlines.com. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel and we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll talk with General Jeff Terrell. At ease, troops, take a break. In business for over 30 years with over $1 billion in sales, Universal Coin and Bullion is my go-to source for gold and silver coins And right now, they're offering our listeners a newly minted 0.99 fine 1 ounce 2024 silver American Eagle coin for just $27. Call 800-UCB-GOLD, 800-UCB-GOLD, or go to their website at universalcoin.com/Denny.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel with your home defense tip of the week. You hear the sound of breaking glass at 2 a.m. What should you do? Many people get a flashlight to investigate, but that could get you killed. Get your firearm immediately. Take up a defensive position in your safe room, then call 911 and wait for the police to arrive. The police can do the job they were trained for, and you and your family can stay safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
HelpVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with all of your everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, health-related services, or information on retirement planning, financial resources, or more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all of your daily needs at HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net wants to thank you for your service, and may God continue to bless the U.S. of A.
Do you have a story inside you yearning to come out? As a self-published author, you are free to creatively distribute your book online or using your own professional connections. White Feather Press will publish your manuscript and set up online distribution, allowing the author to retain all copyright and distribution rights as well as all profits. Check out White Feather Press at publishyourdream.com. White Feather Press, reaffirming faith in God, family, and country.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to the Front Lines of Freedom all across America. Troops, even if our economy wasn't a mess with inflation going crazy and prices up out of sight, I'd still recommend that you do some investing in precious metals, gold and silver. I encourage you to do what I do in purchasing these gold and silver metals from Universal Coin. Find them at universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. As most of the world and currently our media is focused on the current political circus, our nation and our European allies may very well be close to a really big war, one for which we are totally unprepared. Russia's Deputy Foreign Minister, Sergei Rybakov, recently warned that if Western-provided weapons struck Russia, Moscow would extract, quote, fatal consequences. And that clearly suggests war. Let there be no doubt, I support Ukraine making direct attacks on Russia. Fair's fair. Russia's attacking Ukraine. However, we must take this threat from Russia seriously. That means thinking through a strategy for dealing with a Russian attack, preparing to survive, and ultimately winning a possible conflict. I hope that makes sense. I don't see any sign of this in D.C. President Putin continues to signal that he's prepared to wage a long, bloody, and destructive campaign in Ukraine. The present Russian campaign against Kharkiv, the second largest city in Ukraine, has degenerated into a terror campaign targeting civilian facilities and destroying infrastructure. There's no sign that Putin is bothered by the scale of Russian losses or the expenditure of Russian resources as the war goes on for far longer than anyone thought possible. It's clear that he just doesn't care, as few dictators do unless there's a threat to them personally. America and our allies still have not come to grips with the reality of an authoritarian alliance of North Korea, Iran, Communist China, and Russia, using Ukraine as an opportunity to try out our tactics and equipment, which is exactly how the Italian fascists, German Nazis, and Soviet communists used the Spanish Civil War in the 1930s. We really should learn from history, though most of our schools don't teach that. Putin very logically believes that if the war can be contained to Ukraine, his larger population, economy, and willingness to tolerate casualties will eventually grind down Ukrainian will to resist. Further, he knows that President Zelensky is much more likely to be replaced than he is. Zelensky is fighting for his country's life and his own political life. This horrible war is tearing down his popularity and has created an environment in which attacking inside Russia is truly his best option. There's also the hope that causing significant pain in Russia itself could change Putin's perspective and cause him to end the war. Zelensky and his Western allies have their own delicate calculus, though, Ukraine must find the balance between causing Putin enough pain to get him to stop, but not so much pain that he escalates the war. Putin may opt to threaten or use, in a limited way, weapons of mass destruction to try to scare the West into backing off. Given this possibility, America has no apparent strategy for stopping Putin without risking a major war. In fact, the current American defense establishment, specifically including the intelligence community and the State Department, has no apparent strategy for anything, much less a war with Russia. The current generation of national security bureaucrats simply lacks the necessary levels of knowledge and preparation to deal with a true potential war like this. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken is a prime example. Our nation is laughed at by both our friends and our enemies. If Putin used two or three tactical nuclear weapons to cripple the Ukrainian army, we'd better have a serious American and NATO response. Should Putin announce an ultimatum and threaten the existence of Kyiv to force a truce on Russian terms, we better have a strategy. We and Russia have the two largest nuclear weapons arsenals in the world. Russia has an estimated 4,380 active nuclear weapons and another 1,200 in reserve waiting to be dismantled. Also, Putin is ruthless and fearless. We must not forget he was a KGB officer for 16 years. He's clearly not afraid to kill people. All this danger is made greater by Mr. Putin's obvious contempt for President Biden. As he sits in the Kremlin watching clips of Mr. Biden stumbling around and seeming uncertain and incoherent, what do you think he's thinking? I know what I'm thinking, and I love America. Further, even though Mr. Biden is now agreeing to measures he's previously refused, specifically providing jet fighters, the use of certain weapons, a limited direct attacks on Russia and the like, the measures comes too late to make a difference, which is very typical of our current national leadership. Remember Afghanistan? Troops, do remember that our military leadership is primarily focused on being woke, supporting gender transition, and using the right pronouns. Oh, and getting rid of white males. What's totally lacking in any of our leaders is any focus on being combat ready. I'm not saying that all of our troops support this. They're good and many are very combat ready. But with leadership focused on this junk, they're nowhere near as ready as they might be. Troops, we must have a national discussion and debate on how the world is changing. We need to develop a strategy for prolonged American security and instruments capable of implementing that security. This strategy certainly includes supporting our Western allies. As our attention is constantly pulled to show trials and absurd political theater, we must demand that our leaders and the people who are running for office remain vigilant and prepared for potentially serious war. Our enemies are not that far away. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom, and we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have this week, Roland?
About 10 years ago, I was on active duty supporting the Coast Guard's efforts in Iraq and Afghanistan, and I was working at the Coast Guard Atlantic Area Headquarters. See, before I became a warrant officer, I was a senior chief and part of the chief's mess. And as they say, once a chief, always a chief. So I continued to participate in many of the chief activities that were primarily focused on supporting Coast Guard junior enlisted members. Now, this was about the same time that the Coast Guard determined that too many people in senior enlisted roles were staying in the service for too long. They determined that the only way to make room for junior enlisted members to be promoted or advanced was by getting rid of senior enlisted members that had more than 20 years of service. So the Coast Guard instituted a retention board for senior enlisted members. The goal was to only keep those members who had stepped up to more leadership roles. Now, sounds like a great plan, right? Let's force members with over 20 years to retire if they're no longer stepping up and being an enlisted leader. The problem is, there are specific leadership jobs for senior enlisted members. So if you got a job, let's say, as a command chief, that job by definition was a leadership role. However, if your job was as a deck officer on one of the cutters, you were considered a manager and a subject matter specialist and thus not in a leadership role. And because you hadn't, quote, stepped up into a leadership role, it was time for you to retire so others could be promoted. In 2 years, I saw some of the best senior enlisted members I'd ever met forced to retire. You know, this doesn't sound that bad, right? So they had to retire and get paid. But in many of those cases, there were E-8s and E-9s who were like 40 years old. They were making a good living in the military, and now they were unemployed. And let's say your job was a bosun's mate. You may not have a lot of skills that transferred over to like a $100,000 civilian job. Plus, you just got forced out of your beloved service, even though you had a stellar military record. Well, a U.S. Court of Appeals has agreed that the Coast Guard's use of the career retention screening panels was a violation of federal law, and that means those who were forced to retire may be eligible for compensation. In one case, a Coast Guard veteran settled by having his years of service increase, and he received about $200,000. So personally, I'm glad those members who were forced to retire under this ridiculous scheme are finally getting something in return, even if it's more than a decade later. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thanks, Roland. I really enjoy your comments. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll discuss the Army's birthday, Flag Day, and the National Guard with General Jeff Merrill. Then we'll talk with retired Air Force Colonel Kim Carpenter about her time flying an A-10 Thunderbolt, the Warthog. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. You're standing tall with the Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for sit-ups. Do 50. Then stand at ease.
Military leaders have called our national debt the greatest threat facing America, and for good reason. We're more than $32 trillion in debt and counting.
Meanwhile, Congress continues to throw money at the Pentagon and Veterans Affairs with no idea if the money is reaching its intended targets.
Concerned Veterans for America fights for more responsible spending from Washington so Americans remain safe and prosperous in the future.
Visit cbafrontlines.com to learn more and join the movement. That's cbafrontlines.com.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. Troops, welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. So it's an honor to welcome to the show Brigadier General Jeff Terrell. Jeff's in the Michigan Army National Guard. He's an active guy in the state and our community. We served together on a committee. So welcome, Jeff. Thank you for joining us.
Well, hey, I appreciate the invitation. Thanks for the time. And I think before we hopped on air, you told me you're celebrating your 17th birthday of the show. So happy birthday to the show.
Yes, we had a good time. It doesn't seem, you know, how do you get older? And it doesn't feel like it,
you know. Yeah, I often feel like I was just a second lieutenant just, you know, a couple of years ago. But, you know, everything else would indicate that is not the case. So I'll celebrate 37 years of service this October coming up. So it does. It goes by super fast. It's unbelievable.
And interesting, my last active duty assignment was as Army advisor to the Michigan National Guard. And I retired 38 years ago this month.
I just missed you by a year.
Probably the guard wasn't big enough for both of us at the same time, I think.
Right.
Okay, Jeff, start by telling us about your time in uniform. When and why did you join? What'd you do?
Yeah, so I'm actually, I'm third generation Army. My grandfather, you know, we just celebrated the 80th anniversary of the invasion of D-Day. My grandfather was in the Army Air Corps. He was a mechanic. He wrenched on aircraft in Europe. And then my father and a couple of my uncles also served in the Army. And it was a career that allowed me to get myself through school at Michigan State University. And, you know, when I first took the commission, I thought, hey, I'll do my stint. I'll get out. Then I kind of adjusted my goals and said, hey, I'd really like to be a lieutenant colonel, a battalion commander. And I just continued to seek opportunities to do leadership. And it's just been my way of giving back to not only my nation, but to my communities as well.
So you basically, I've talked to a lot of people who got in and never got around to getting out. They found one more thing. What branches did you serve in? In the National Guard, you can sort of change branches easier than on active duty.
Yeah. So for the first 20 years of my career, I was a field artilleryman. Over half the artillery in the United States Army is located in the National Guard across the United States. So we have a artillery unit that was headquartered out of the state capitol with lineage that goes back well before World War One. In fact, we just rededicated a World War One monument on the campus of Michigan State. It's called in the Great Grove. And the names on that monument, a lot of those names came out of the 119th Field Artillery, which is headquartered in Lansing. And in fact, you can go to the State Museum and some of the old battle streamers and some of the lineage, some of the artifacts are actually in the State Museum. So 20 years in the artillery. Then I moved up out of battalion command into the brigade. And, you know, similar to active duty Army, we've got combat arms units here. We've got some infantry battalions. So I commanded at the brigade level. I served as, you know, operations and as chief of staff, executive officer. But then I commanded a brigade. You know, I had two artillery battalions, a couple infantry battalions. And then I moved on to state headquarters, right? You know, effectively. A lot of people like to call it the Puzzle Palace, you know, similar to the Nationals, you know, the National Capital Region where the Pentagon is. We've got our own here in the state of Michigan. And then I spent time on senior staff there, statewide staff. And I think the last time you and I talked was in the midst of COVID. And, you know, I was the Joint Task Force Commander for the state's COVID response on the military side. So I've done a little bit of everything through my career.
Wow. Well, at least you weren't bored.
Yeah, no, that's the second career, right? So, yeah. You know, in the Guard, you do two careers. You know, they say it's a weekend a month, you know, 2 weeks in the summer, but, you know, it's not that, right? I'm a citizen soldier every day, but I also have a corporate banking career. That's how, you know, you and I had actually met on a committee for a nonprofit that supports veterans. And, you know, my banking career, I've been a better corporate banker because of my Army training and everything that comes with that. And I think I've been a better military officer because of the corporate experience that I have. So I've been blessed to be able to have, you know, two successful careers for the last 30 plus years.
You know, leadership is leadership. And when you find good people, military, civilian, wherever, and can learn from them and grow in it, you win. Everybody wins. And that sounds awfully real to me.
Well, I've been fortunate to have the key thing for both sides, whether your military bosses and superiors have got to recognize that, especially in the National Guard and then with our Army Reserves as well, that you've got a civilian career. I mean, my civilian career is what puts, you know, food on the table and, you know, puts my kids into college and puts gas in the cars and does that, right? But I also have to have support from the bank, from my civilian employers. And that's super important because you just never know when you might get the call. And, you know, you got to go be on the COVID task force. And so having that support both ways is critical. And I've been fortunate to have that, you know, throughout my career.
And have you spent any time as a full-time guardsman or have you always been officially a part-timer?
Actually, early on in my career, for the first, you know, almost first 3 years, I actually stayed in Lansing. I worked at state headquarters. I worked on the counter drug program. So I was one of the first folks into that program while I was actually kind of, I was hanging around Lansing waiting for somebody that I'd eventually marry. And we just celebrated our 30th wedding anniversary this last week. So I stayed in Lansing because you can do a full-time guard career similar to doing a full-time active duty career. But, you know, it's just the numbers are different. So in comparison, you know, we've got just around 8,500 Army guardsmen, guard women here in the state of Michigan. But, you know, on a full-time basis, you know, we have something closer to maybe 400 full-timers, as we call them, that really kind of keep everything operating. So if you were to walk into your local armory in whatever city you're in the state of Michigan, you'll find three or four folks working in that armory full-time. But they're supporting a unit that when everyone shows up for formation on a drill weekend, could be a 100, could be 150, could be 200 service members that would show up. So that full-time force is critical. And I did do some of that early on in my career.
And you said the state of Michigan. That's basically the same in every state, isn't it?
The construct is the same in every state, but the sizes are different. Michigan would actually be a large guard state. There are some states that are larger. They have greater numbers, but a majority of the states in the United States would have fewer. But you think about population centers, right? You know, Massachusetts, Utah, not very large populous states. So, you know, their guard population, as we would call it, would be, you know, as you would expect, would be smaller.
Makes
Whereas
sense.
Texas, California, you know, they've got larger guard formations because they just have a larger population.
Okay. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with General Jeff Terrell. Jeff, this past Friday was the Army's birthday. I'm a little embarrassed to say that I don't know that I've ever celebrated the Army's birthday. I've always known it was, but we are the senior service, aren't we?
We are. It's that citizen soldier. There's a great statue. We've got it in front of our guard headquarters of the Minuteman, right? And when you look at the Minuteman, the Minuteman's got his left hand on the plowshare, and in his right hand he's holding the musket. And it's basically depicting that Minuteman walking away from the plowshare, leaving the plowshare in the field, picking up his musket, and joining the newest unit in the United States at the time. It wasn't even called the United States at the time, right? To basically, you know, and that was the start of the Continental Army right there. Yep. And, you know, at that point in time, they were guardsmen, right? We didn't have a standing army. They were citizen soldiers. And, you know, they took up the mantle, and we hold on to that heritage, that history, and that tradition today.
We do indeed. And Mother Army is still alive and well. There's more to discuss. Indeed, we're going to discuss Flag Day, which was also last Friday. And General Terrell will stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Yeah, it's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do, well, at least once a week. Then take a break and stay in the area. We'll be right back.
Friends, Adam here, Patriot Foods, U.S. only company. Frozen fruits and vegetables straight from our dirt, not overseas. Support the U.S. farmer. When you shop at patriotfoods.com, we give back to a military family in need. We got to take care of each other, my friends. We have to. So important. 10% off patriotfoods.com. 10% off promo code FREEDOM and shop today.
It's that time of the year again. The U.S. Mint is making their new 2024 American Silver Eagle and American Gold Eagle coins, and there's no better time to shore up your investment in precious metals than now. Call Universal Coin and Bullion at 800-UCB-GOLD to get great prices on the finest gold and silver coins of the year. I work with Universal Coin and Bullion because they're a company that you can trust. So give them a call at 800-UCB-GOLD. That's 800-UCB-GOLD, or check them out at universalcoin.com/Denny. This is Colonel Denny Gill, and this is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with General Jeff Terrell from the Michigan Army National Guard. So we just discussed the Army's birthday. That was in 1775 that Congress passed the Continental Army Bill. Then 2 years later, in 1777, during the American Revolution, the Continental Congress passed a resolution defining the flag of the United States as 13 alternate stripes, red and white stripes, and a union of 13 stars. So I fly a flag all day, every day, all night. It's got a light on it. So I don't particularly fly the flag any different on Flag Day, but we do need to acknowledge the fact that we're Americans, and that's a symbol of who we are. Do you agree?
Oh, I agree 100%. And similar to you, I've got a flag. It's got a light, and you know, it's a symbol, right? It's very apropos too, as we think about, you know, getting ready to participate in the Summer Olympics. You're going to see a lot of the flag, and I think it's a great flag, and it's something that, you know, just should garner everyone's respect it just, a lot of people have sacrificed, made the ultimate sacrifice for what that flag represents. And that's what I see when I see the flag. As a side note, I've got two boys that have earned the rank of Eagle in scouting. My daughter, now that they've opened it up to girls, my daughter's right behind them, and her Eagle project is actually establishing a flag receptacle. So when your flag is, you know, a little tattered and needs to be taken care of, the scouts are authorized to do that. She's setting up a flag receptacle at our local American Legion here in I live in Northville, Michigan. So look for that. If you've got a used and tattered flag, the scouts will take care of that. But it's very meaningful. Similar, it sounds like, the way you think about the flag to me and my family as well.
You know, and I guess the only really the big classified secret thing is that, according to legend, Philadelphia seamstress Betsy Ross designed the new form of the flag, the stars and stripes. And she's the one that came up with a circle of 13 stars and a blue background at the request of General Washington. Now, nobody knows if that's true or not, but it's a good story, and somebody came up with it. And whatever it is, we have a great flag.
We do. And the only additional comment I would make is, you know, I think we need to continue to teach that story, talk about the flag and what it represents in our schools, and, you know, make sure that the young citizens that we're educating and that are growing up in the country, you know, have the same understandings of what that flag represents that you and I and older generations have as well.
Well said, because if we don't discuss it, if we don't teach our kids, they'll forget, it'll go away. I've mentioned this before on the show, Jeff. I don't know if you heard it, but I taught American government at a local college for 15 years. And one of my first questions the first day of class was, why do we celebrate the 4th of July? And in 15 years, I had one student who knew. They all knew it was Independence Day, but neither the education system nor their families taught them anything about our history. So this is important that we do that. We got to educate our kids, particularly on things that are patriotic.
Yeah, 100% agreement.
Okay, talk to us about the National Guard, Jeff. How does it fit into our national defense? How does it compare with the reserve? How does it interact with the active duty? Talk to us about that.
Yeah, listen, the National Guard is an integral part of our nation's defense. As we talked in the last segment, you just look at the nation's field artillery. Over half the field artillery in the United States Army is actually in the National Guard. What makes the National Guard unique is the fact that I actually took two oaths. I took an oath to the United States and to the president and to the Constitution of the United States. But as a Guards member, I also took an oath to the state of Michigan and to the governor. So dependent upon the status I'm in, dependent upon what job I'm doing or who's called me to duty, I could be working for the governor in a special state status, or I could be working for the president of the United States. I've done both in my career. And not to get into the weeds too much, but we train, we fight, we integrate, we do everything that the Army does. And we train often with active duty. In fact, here in the state of Michigan, we have a great training complex in Grayling. It's the largest Army training site east of the Mississippi. Active duty, reserve, National Guard, it's the largest site east of the Mississippi. We attract Army reservists, active duty. We attract the Air Force, National Guard. We attract everybody. We've even had Marines in the lake doing amphibious landings on the beach in Camp Grayling. So we integrate 100% with the active duty. The difference, and why do you have a guard? A couple reasons. One, you know what? We're a cheaper option. You're not paying me every day, right? I keep my proficiency up. I'm ready to go, but you're not paying me every day for that proficiency. Our op tempo, you know, the amount that we utilize our vehicles, the amount of fuel we burn, the amount of training is not as the same as an active duty unit. So we're a very cost-effective readiness portion of the United States Army and the Air Force as well.
Well, yes. And, you know, my first real involvement with the National Guard was when I was a rifle company commander in the 101st Airborne Division, and we came to Michigan for the Detroit riots in 1967. I was working with the National Guard guys all the time, and they were just guys in uniform doing their job, in this particular case, helping their nation. So all my experiences are positive. You know, obviously, I ended up working with the Guard. I was full time, but they're there. And theoretically, they do one weekend a month and 2 weeks each summer. But if something happens to the state or nation, they're there and they go and they serve.
Well, you know, it's 100% correct. We actually have I've got a brigade headquarters unit that is in Kuwait today. They're responsible for an operating area amongst Iraq and in Kuwait. We just had an infantry battalion return from Syria. We've deployed thousands of Michigan National Guard service members over the last, 15, 20 years. I don't have the exact numbers, but it's been thousands. And when we deploy, you know, we deploy just like our active duty brothers and sisters. And we fight alongside them. We're fully integrated. And then we come home, we drop our musket, we pick up the plowshare, and we get back to work. That's what we do.
Good summary. Jeff, we're about out of time. How can interested individuals across the nation, how can they learn more about their National Guard? Google it? Just walk into an armory? What would be an appropriate way?
We've got recruiters across the state that would love to talk to somebody that's interested. And you can certainly go to the Michigan National Guard website. You can walk into your local armory. More than likely, they'll be a recruiter, or there'll be a senior non-commissioned officer there that's running that armory, and they'll get you set up. But you know, for anyone that's outside the state of Michigan, listen to the show. Every state's set up primarily the same way. So you hit that your state's guard website. It will have the contact info for your local recruiter, and you can have a conversation with that recruiter. And I would tell you, you know, in most states, here in the state of Michigan, you join the Michigan National Guard, you become a service member. In addition to your GI Bill that you're going to earn, you're going to get tuition taken care of here in the state of Michigan if you attend a school, a college here in the state of Michigan. And, you know, it's the least we can do for those that decide to, you know, we talked about the flag, we talked about the oath. For those that have, you know, taking that oath, you know, it's the least we can do. So we'd love to have you on the team. You can, similar to me, I consider myself blessed and lucky. You can have not just a military career, but you can continue to live in your hometown and do that career that you're doing and, you know, successfully do two careers. You can do it.
Very, very true. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you for your great comments today, for your service to our state and our nation. I'm glad we're friends.
Well, Denny, thank you for everything you do for veterans, and thank you for your service. Appreciate it.
This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour talking with retired Air Force Colonel Kim Carpenter. Then Gil and Skip will discuss our southern border in a book. And of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag military history and our self-defense report. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, let's do some pull-ups. Maybe 40 good ones and then a couple, maybe 20 more push-ups. Grab some protein, rehydrate with water. And finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.